This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This weekly series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, from Washington, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. It's a real pleasure to have as our guests on today's program two distinguished members of Congress. First, Representative William Calmer, Democrat, Dean of the Mississippi Congressional Delegation, ranking member and next chairman of the powerful House Rules Committee. Also, Representative Jamie Whitten, Democrat from Mississippi, and a high-ranking member of the House Appropriations Committee. Gentlemen, it's a real pleasure to have both of you with us today.
Thank you, Dick. Good to be back with you.
Congressman Whitten, I'd like to ask you this question to begin our discussion. As a member of the Appropriations Committee, various proposals have come before you for consideration, including this matter of federal aid to education. When your committee was considering federal aid to education, did it have in mind that the money would be spent in the manner in which the Commissioner of Education, Harold Howe II, and the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare are now doing as far as the so-called guidelines are concerned?
Dick, certainly it did not. However, I don't believe that you'll find that Mr. Howe ever called anybody, any group in Congress' attention to what he intended. I might also refer to your expression, it's not the money they spend, it's the money they hold back as a result of these guidelines, which have no basis in law, so far as I can find.
Mr. Calmer, your Rules Committee has recently held hearings and called Mr. Howe as a witness. And he is quoted as having said that if he had his way, schools, and I'm quoting Mr. Howe, schools will be built for the primary purpose of economic and social integration. Do you believe this goes beyond the intent of Congress and any civil rights bills passed thus far?
Dick, unquestionably it does. I think maybe I should explain what the Rules Committee was doing in this field.
Yes, please do.
As you understand, the Rules Committee is a clearinghouse. It's not a legislative committee. It clears the legislation from all other committees. But this abuse of the power that this man, Dr. Howe, has used was so flagrant and so violent. And the Judiciary Committee and the Education Committee, which have primary responsibilities for looking after these things, were not doing anything about it. So a number of resolutions were introduced, one of which was introduced by my good friend and colleague here, Congressman Whitten, and referred to my committee. And upon the basis of these resolutions, which had for their purpose the setting up of a select committee to study the abuse of the law and the misinterpretation of the law and the willful maladministration, in our judgment, brought about hearings by my committee. My committee ordinarily only hears members of Congress. But in this particular case, we exercise authority that we rarely use to bring in this federal official and ask him, interrogate him, and expose some of this maladministration.
In a recent syndicated column, David Lawrence said that the country as a whole is not yet informed about the significance of this question, because this whole matter means that, and I'm quoting Mr. Lawrence now, that the national government, by the use of federal funds, can control almost any action of the local governments and threaten the withholding or deferment of such funds until there is so-called compliance with the wishes of a department in Washington. Mr. Lawrence also says that this is going to lead to complete control in Washington of the entire educational system of states, cities, and counties throughout the country. Mr. Whitten, do you see that that this danger actually exists at the present time?
I certainly do. It's been pointed out by my colleague Bill Calmer. Mr. Howe is kind of adamant in his attitude about what he plans to do. The regulations that he has issued go far beyond the law which authorizes the regulations. And he wants to enlarge on Supreme Court decisions and enlarge on the statute. And there's one thing about it, if you've got the money and don't release it, the fact that you're acting wrong still leaves them without the money. Of course, behind all of this, and one of the reasons why they look so much to the federal government's moved in on income taxes to the point that it's hard to finance many of your local problems from ordinary sources of taxes. So that very need is adding to the power of a fellow like Howe to just take the bit in his own teeth, so to speak, and do what he pleases, and make it awfully difficult to shake him loose. And I think I should say here that Judge Smith and Bill Coleman and the others on the Rules Committee deserve great credit for having brought this to the attention. I think you saw on the floor of the House the reaction that it's had in the Congress, and of course behind that was a reaction with the American people. I think the people are catching on, and I think it's going to have some beneficial effects before it's over.
In a recent appearance on this program, the governor of Alabama, George Wallace, pointed out the irony of the present situation. He pointed out that at the present time, at least, a school district in the South which is operating under a federal court integration order probably can do less and still receive its federal funds than a district where there is no court order but that is trying to deal with Harold Howe and the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare.
Well, there's lots of other things in this that are ironical. Last fall, I was in a school in Detroit, Michigan, something over 1,300 students. They had four white students in the whole school. You don't see anything about that. Howe attempted to impose on the city of Chicago certain things that he's imposed through our area. And you'll recall that didn't last very long. So this man, with all the things he's trying to do, he's trying to pinpoint it to those places where, for one reason or another, they haven't been able to take care of themselves to the same degree that your big cities have.
Mr. Colmer, you for many years have said that the South has been the nation's whipping boy, and that as long as these guidelines, for example, were being imposed primarily on the South, perhaps people in the other parts of the country weren't going to become too concerned and too upset about it. But now that the long arm of the federal government is reaching up north as well, talking about busing of school children and relocating of schools and redrawing of district lines, do you think this is going to have some political impact?
Well, I don't think there's any question about it, Dick. As you have intimated, if not said, for a long time, all this so-called civil rights, which some of us inclined to call civil wrongs, was aimed like a loaded pistol at the South. The 1966 version, which was killed finally, was like a scatter gun that was aimed at the whole nation. And these people in the so-called North are now awakening to the real situation that exists and the thing that the South had known all these years. So when they begin to talk about open housing and busing children clear across the city limits from one end of the city to the other, it's getting close home. And they have become very conscious of it, and I think it's going to result in a different picture come the next Congress, particularly if we get a few more conservatives to replace some of these pseudo-liberals. But Dick, I didn't want to say this in furtherance of what Jamie had to say there and what you have said. The thing that the people of this country apparently don't realize, and the thing that some of us have been trying to point out for years, is that the federal control is going to follow that federal dollar. And this is exactly what's going on in the educational field, as it has in other aspects of economy and social life. When you get a man like Dr. Howe, who has a philosophy that is contrary to that of the great majority of these people, who is a zealot for remaking America after the lines of the old world, getting back to what our forefathers fled from to come over here to establish a new form of government in the new world. When you get this type of man in control of one of your great institutions like the educational department of this government, you've got a sad situation. Now, it can only lead, in the final analysis, to the abolition of your neighborhood schools, the centralization of power in the federal government in the field of education. And I predicted in the committee the other day, and I repeat here now, it's just a question of a few years if this thing is permitted to go on before they will be prescribing up here and whitening the textbooks that will be used in the public schools of Mississippi, New York, and the other states of the Union. Jimmy, pardon me for going so.
Well, you've worked with this for a long time, Bill, and we all appreciate it on the committee. I might mention here that the bills that you are considering, I did join with George Andrews in introducing the bill, a facet of it that hasn't been touched on here. The bills call for holding up the enforcement of these regulations pending the study by a select committee which would be authorized under the terms of the measure.
Congressman Whitten, do you believe that the national reaction against these arbitrary government bureaucratic decisions is increasing?
Well, there's no question about it. The action of the House of Representatives on the Fountain Amendment and later on the O'Hara Amendment quite clearly show how strong the feeling is. I believe the O'Hara Amendments, they had a televote where the names weren't recorded, and I believe it carried with only 5 votes opposed to it, which is an indication, not that those amendments were as strong as my colleague and I would have liked them, but at least it was a step in the right direction, and they had only 5 votes in opposition.
Gentlemen, I'd like to thank both of you for taking time to be with us today. Our time has gone by very quickly indeed. Our guests on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum have been Congressman Jamie Whitten and William Calmer, Democrats from Mississippi. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedoms.